In Yonim relating to Birchas Shemes, let's first start with the topic of standing, the posture. What is the typical posture of Birchas Kohanim? Everyone stands. The Kohanim that recite the bracha stand, they give over the bracha, and the Tzibur as well, they also remain standing when the Kohanim give them the bracha. Is that a halacha? Is it ma'akev? Is it correct? What are all the issues? So the first, and what happens if a Kohen sits? Does that mean that the bracha, it's not a bracha? It is a bracha, it's just not ma'akev. How do all of these things work? So this is a very big topic, and it's all based on the Gemara. The Gemara says, when the Gemara describes the laws of the Kohanim, the words of the Pasuk are, la'amoid l'shares. Oh, let's go back to the bracha. Kois varchu, the elu yam de levarich malahalim b'amida afkan b'amida. This is really so. Let me read you the entire Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. It's a Gemara mesecht asoit aflamet ches kois varchu b'amida. The Gemara says that when the Kohanim recite birchas Kohanim, it must be done b'amida. In fact, the Gemara atam b'amida oyenelo b'afilu b'yeshiva. Maybe the Kohanim can give the bracha sitting. The Gemara answers, Nemar kan koi sivarchu, v'nemar lahalon ve'elu ya'amdu luvarech. It says in Parshas Nitzavim, when the Shvatim, they come to Har Gerizim and Har Evil, it says, ve'elu ya'amdu luvarech, they shall stand to bless. We make a gzera shava. Just like there it says the word luvarech, and here it says the word luvarech, ma lahalon bi'amida, afkan bi'amida. Okay, it's a gzera shava. From Birchos Kohanim to the Brachos and the Klolos of Har Grizim and Har Evel. That itself is an amazing principle to appreciate, that every time you participate, every single time you participate in Birchos Kohanim, the Bracha that the Kohanim give you is rooted in the Brachos of Har Grizim and Har Evel. You have to go back and read the Psukim by Har Grizim and Har Evel, and understand what exactly was taking place over there. What was the purpose of the Shvatim ascending these two mountains and facing each other and reciting these brachos and study the topic over there? Because the topic that appears in the sugya of Har Grizim and Har Evel, according to the Gemara, is the root, is a very important, integral portion of Birchas Kohanim. Because we make a Gzera Shava. It says, Bracha, ve'elu yamdu levarech, these Shevatim shall stand on this mountain to bless. And it says the word by Birchas Kohanim Kos Levarchu, the Gemara makes the Gzeres Shava. When the Gemara makes the Gzeres Shava is not just a technical element to teach you the way the Bracha should be made. When the Gemara makes a Gzeres Shava, it's teaching you there's a Musar, there is a lesson, there is a moral teaching that the concepts are related. There are lessons that appear in one section that have to be applied to another section. That is the Gzeres Shava. And then the Gemara says, no, that's only according to one opinion. Rabbi Nosson Oimer says, Ein Tzarech, I don't need to come on to that. I don't need to come on to learning from the brachas of Har Gerizim and Har Evel. Harehu Oimer, there's another better source. It says in the Pasuk, L'sharsoi u'luvarech b'shmai. It says, when the Kohanim minister, they serve Hashem, and they bless in His name. In this Pasuk, there is a hekesh to bracha to sheirus. Ma m'shares b'amida, af m'varech b'amida. When a Kohen ministers, meaning when a Kohen does avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, by bringing a korban, offering the ketores or any service, he must stand. How do you know a Kohen must stand when he services Hashem? Tichsiv says, La'amod l'shares. He shall stand and minister. That ends the Gemara. Okay, so we have over here two major, major yesodos in the din of Birchas Kohanim. Mitzad echad, Birchas Kohanim is connected to the blessings that were given on Har Grizim and Har Evel. There were blessings and curses, 11 blessings and 11 curses. 6 Shvatim stood on one mountain, and the other 6 stood on the other mountain. And they faced each other, and they said the blessing and the answer, and they all answered Amen. 11 blessings, 11 curses. According to one piece of Gemara, we are Birchas Kohanim is directly related to this principle. Just like there, the Pasuk explicitly says they must stand when they recite the blessings, so too, in Birchas Kohanim, they must stand. The Gemara then presents a second approach. We do not need to come on to the blessings of Har Grizim and Har Evil. Instead, we come on to, we compare Birchas Kohanim to serving in the Beis HaMikdash. When a Kohen does avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, he must stand. La'amod l'shores. And elsewhere it says, l'shores u'levorech b'shmo. To minister and to bless. We compare the avoda of sherus to the avoda of blessing to sherus. Just like sherus must be done standing, so too the avoda must be done standing. Now, before we even go further, you take away from this two incredible yisaidis. Every time you stand before the kohanim, and the kohanim are blessing you, or the kohanim giving a blessing, you have to remember that the makar for Birchas Kohanim, the details are derived from these two principles. These two principles are very different from one another. Har Grizim and Har Evol have a curse. It's incredible. We only think of Birchas Kohanim as a bracha. It's only blessing. There is no curse. It is a saying in English, no pain, no gain. If there is no effort, no toil that goes into accomplishing something, then you haven't really accomplished anything. No pain, no gain. The blessings of Har Grizim and Har Evol are a double-edged sword. Let me actually read you the psukim. This changes the entire nature of Birchas Kohanim. Here it is. I'm having a hard time finding it. Rabbi Mayevsky, we are the brachas neklolas.
Kisavo. Kiparshis kisavo. About chamishi.
Okay, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Parsh kisavo. Vayitzav Moshe es'om bayom hu le'mor. Eile. Yamdu levorech es'om al har grizim. Be'avrechem es'ayardin shimon v'lev v'yehuda yisachal yosef v'nyamin. Ve'ele yamdu ala klal b'har evil. Reuven god of Asher Zulun god of Naphtali. V'yanu halavim v'yamru kol, and they the levim were in the middle. V'yanu halavim v'yamru el kol ish Yisrael kol ram. Aror ha'ish k'asher yase pesel masechet v'as Hashem masei de'acharosh v'samaseh soser v'yanu chol la'am v'yamru amen. Okay, now we go to the blessings. Okay, these are just the klalos. It only says in the form of the klalos. Okay, there were brachas no klalos. Rashi over here says the whole story. Kedisa b'mesechta saita shisha shvatim alu l'roish har grizim v'shisha l'roish har evil v'yakohanim v'alavim v'aron l'mata b'emsa hafchu levim pinehem klavi har grizim v'pasku b'bracha baruch ho'ish Asher lo yaseh pesel maseicha. Ve'elu ve'elu oinim amen. Then chazu pneim klapi har evil paschal beklol. They said the opposite. The Oymim Arur Hoish Asher Yaseh Pesel V'chein Kulam Ad Or Asher Lo Yakim. So here we learn over here, this is the Makar for Birchas Kehanim. Here it says Elu Ya'amdu Levarech. The word Levarech appears here prominently in connection with the word Ya'amdu, and the word Brach appears in the parasha of Birchas Kehanim, obviously Levarech Esa'am. So we take the word Amida and we bring it into Birchas Kehanim. And Birchas Kehanim must be said by Amida. So here we learn the Yisoid. Now this took place when? This takes place immediately after Klal Yisrael enters into Eretz Yisrael. This is not a chelik of the Avoda. This is not taking place in the Beis HaMikdash. This is a general blessing that takes place as we stand on the boundary of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara then presents a second drasha to teach us how we know that Birchas Kehanim must be Amida by comparing it to the service that the Kehanim perform in the Beis HaMikdash. La'amod l'shares. It says, l'shares u'levorech bishmo. So we connect the word bracha to sherus, and sherus must be said standing la'amod. So what does that teach us about Birchas Kehanim? When you want to go look at this from a perspective of machshava, that Birchas Kehanim mitzad echad is an avoda, it's a chelik of doing the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, and mitzad sheni, it's a chelik of a bracha in Eretz Yisrael, coming into Eretz Yisrael. This immediately answers the age-old question as to why we do not do today Birchas Kehanim in Chutz La'aretz. This is an age-old question. Why don't we have the mitzvah of Birchas Kehanim today in Chutz La'aretz every single day, this morning at Shachris, if you daven with a minyan? Why was there no Birchas Kehanim? If we were living in Eretz Yisrael, there would be Birchas Kehanim. So everyone will give me the popular answer, that since it must be done with Ahava and with Simcha, and when we are living in Chutz La'aretz, it's extremely difficult for the Kehanim to build themselves up to a state of where they have true Ahava and Simcha. Therefore, better don't say Hashem's name Levatola if you cannot bring yourself to say the bracha with Simcha and Ahava. That is the most popular. What about on the Sholosh Rogolim?
Rabbi,
yeah?
Excuse me, Rabbi Levine, is it true that the Sfardim here...
Yes, they do, yes. Yes, they do, they do, yes, they do, they do. Yes, the Sfardim here do every single day. Why? They have a different tradition. They have a different tradition, is that there is no... They hold that there is Simcha B'zmanas in Chutz La'aretz. Who says that the Birchas Kehanim has to do whether you're holding on that Madrega? You do it because the Torah tells you to do it. You do it, and you'll work on yourself. You'll bring yourself to a matzav of simcha. They are right. They are technically correct. We are the ones that have a problem. Why are we not doing it? There were two people that tried to reinstitute Birchas Kehanim in our history, and they are the Vilna Gaon and the Chassam Sofer. The Vilna Gaon tried to do so, and right after he tried to do so, he was arrested, I believe. He was arrested, and he took that as a sign in Hashemayim, that in Shemayim they did not want him to reinstitute Birchas Kehanim. The Chassam Sofer was about to reinstitute it, and there was a major fire. There was a fire that burned half the city of Pressburg. And he took that as a sign in Hashemayim that they did not want him to reinstitute or to institute Birchas Kehanim in Chutz La'aretz. So the bottom line is, we do not do it. We do not...
Paskin to do it.
He doesn't say not to do it. He doesn't say not to do it. He doesn't say anything. He just says you do it. He doesn't say not to do it. It's not a mitzvah tli ba'aret. It's not a mitzvah that depends on the land. It's not a mitzvah of shvius. It's not a mitzvah of kalayim. It's not a mitzvah of chumas and maestros. It doesn't say anywhere in the parish of Birchas Kehanim that it should be done only when you're living in Eretz Yisrael. Kois varchu as bnei Yisrael amor lohem. Why are we limiting ourselves not to have this bracha in Chutz La'aretz? It's a very big question. The common answer is because in Golos we don't have Simcha. We don't have Simcha. The bracha is supposed to be the bracha. The Mitzvah bracha is Be'ahava. Asher k'deshanu b'kedushaso shel Aaron l'varech hasamo yisrael be'ahava, with love, and love demands an element of joy. There are more sources for this. I don't have them on tip my tongue. But there are many indications that it must be done with a high degree of emotion. And when we are in Golos, we are not where we belong. We don't have that feeling. And that is why, that's the common reason why it is not done in Chutz La'aretz. We only do it on the Shalosh Regalim. Even on the Shalosh Regalim, there is a raging debate among the Paiskim. Why not? Why do we do it? Once we do not do it the whole year, why should the Shalosh Regalim be any different? Some will tell you that we only do it not to forget that there is something called Birchos Kohanim. In other words, the Birchos Kohanim that we do on the Shalosh Regalim in Chutz La'aretz is of really no value, is inconsequential, is insignificant, has no effect, kaviyachol. Why then do it? In order that we Jews living in Chutz La'aretz should not forget that there is something called Birchos Kohanim. And when you will merit to go to Eretz Yisrael, make Aliyah, and to be part of the Zman of Yemos HaMashiach, and you will be in Eretz Yisrael, you will be fluent, and you will be aware how to know how to do it, you'll know what it's all about, and you'll be very familiar with what's going to come in the future. But truthfully speaking, do you think... Yeah? That's an... You're supposed to try. Oh, so that's the second answer. So, but the first answer is that the truth is that what we are doing in Chutz La'aretz, on the first day, on Birchas Kohanim, is again, it doesn't count. It's not going to give us any special bracha, because if it would give us bracha, we would be doing this the whole year round. We would be doing this every single tefillah. The fact that we do not do it every single tefillah is because in living in Galus, we are weak, and it doesn't have any effect. So don't say Hashem's name in vain. So why then do we say Hashem's name in vain on the Shalosh Regalim? It's just so that we don't forget there is something in this world called Birchas Kohanim, period. The second answer is, like as Mr. Weiss just mentioned, is that on Shalosh Regalim, we are in a state of Simcha. V'samachta b'chagecha, u'samachtam l'fnei Hashem Elokeichem. We are truly in a frame of mind of true Simcha. And that Simcha allows the Birchas Kohanim to be effective, to be the real deal. It's not just the Birchas Kohanim, shloi teshtakach, Birchas Kohanim, we shouldn't forget. It's the real deal. Okay, fine. That is all good, fine and good. As I mentioned, the Chasam Sofer and the Vilna Gaon did want to institute that it should be done every single day, just like Acheinu B'nai Yisrael, the Sfardim, they do Birchas Kohanim every single day. I want to present to you an idea right here, that being that the Gemara, when the Gemara has a discussion, should the Kohanim stand? Are they required to stand when they recite the Bracha? And the Gemara presents two sources as to the answer, and the answer is yes. Kohanim must stand when they recite Birchas Kohanim. The second source compares it to Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Wow, that reveals
you're
over
breaking,
here.
Rabbi, you're breaking up. Your sound breaking up a little bit.
Okay. According to one interpretation, the second interpretation of the Gemara, we compare it to Birchas Kohanim. We compare it to the Avodah. Is it better now? Can you hear me now?
No, not good. Not good. Static.
It's static. Are you the only one? Let me, Mr. Shaloni, Mr. Rabbi Shaloni. Are you able to hear me?
No. We all have
you all can't hear me.
All breaking up here.
Well, all right. I don't know what I'm gonna log back in, okay? Give me one moment. I'm coming back in 1 second. Is it any better now?
Seemingly.
Seemingly?
Yes. All right, that was clear.
We'll see how long it lasts. Okay, so now let's...
Excuse me 1 second. In reference to what you said about Ava and Simcha,
yeah.
I found my shul, I brought it home, a siddur that's printed in Casablanca.
Yeah.
And it has Birchas Kohanim every morning in the siddur. But on Shalosh Regalim, it doesn't have the Rabbonis Shalolim, but only during the Chol it has Rabbonis Shalolim and then the Sarat Fila. So maybe because, and it says why, Batavas Chalom, if you had, say. So in other words, on Yontif, when you have, maybe it's the reason is for Simcha, they don't, on Yontif, you wouldn't say it, but they only have that Tfila Rabbonis Shalolim on Shachris L'Chol.
Uh-huh.
On Yontif, it's not there.
Because you don't need it.
The Sidur, it isn't there.
You don't need it because saying Dennis is not a Simcha.
You wouldn't say it on Yontif.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
I'm just speculating. Well, this Siddur is so different, you wouldn't believe it.
Casablanca.
One of the advantages of the Corona is that the minion, the Torah to go, is a Sfardi minion, and they have Birchas Kohanim every day.
That's right. Birchas Kohanim. The Sfardi minyanim they have every day. Okay. So now here is... This is the now. And here is the question is why not? So I just want to present you the Rav Pashut. Being that the Gemara explicitly says that the source of Birchas Kohanim comes from the brachos of Har Gerizim and Har Evel, the brachos of Har Gerizim and Har Evel were brachos that were said upon our entry into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, in Parashas Kisavai, Vayitzav Moshe Esa'om. Bayoim Hahu Lemor. What's the Yoim Hahu? On that day, the day when they came into Eretz Yisrael. They arrive in Eretz Yisrael, they cross over the Yarden. They cross over the Yarden. Well, Moshe is speaking to them and telling them what to do when you come into Eretz. You're going to set these big stones. You're going to walk into the land. Okay, we know that in hindsight, they conquered first... Yerichoy and Ai, or if this, no, this took place
not
before.
Hearing a word.
I'm sorry?
Can't hear a word.
You can't hear anything?
Broken up completely.
King up again.
All right, I'm gonna do is I'm gonna call in instead of talk to you on this. I'm gonna call on the telephone. So stay with me for one moment, okay? I'm gonna call in. Stay with me one moment. Hello? Do you hear me now? Hello? Do you hear me? Do you hear me now? Do you hear me? Okay, I can't, but I can't hear you. 1 second. I have to put this on speaker. I can't hear you. Okay. Let's try now. Do you hear me now? Okay, do you hear me?
Yes.
You can hear me. It's clear?
I think you're right here, yes.
All right, but my problem is I can't hear you. Ah. I can barely hear you. Why not? I don't know.
I know,
because I'm not on it. I'm not focused on it, I know. Okay, now, how about now?
Yes, beautiful, yeah.
Okay. There's only one problem, that I can't hear you. If one thing is good, my mother always would tell me life is like a short tablecloth. If the table looks nice on one side, it doesn't look nice on the other side. You can't have everything. All right, so we'll try to figure this out. I don't know why the sound is so low. I don't know what to do. Okay, let me try now. Someone say something. Could someone say something? Well, let me hear if I can hear you. Hello? All right, it's not really. Let me try one more thing, 1 second. Let's try something else here. All right, we'll leave it with this for now. All right, let's continue. Okay, so if someone wants to say something, just speak very loud so I can hear. For some reason, the sound on this system. Let me try this. All right, we'll do the best we can. Okay, let's go. Okay, so question over here is, so I wanted just to suggest something very simple. Being that the source of the halacha that a person should stand, the kohanim must stand when they recite Birchas Kohanim, comes from the brachas of Har Grizim and Har Evel. And Har Grizim and Har Evel, it says, were brachas that were said when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. This is where it was said. It was meant to be said under the first moment they touched ground in Eretz Yisrael. Then you shall set up these big masses. They make the stones, they would write Mishneh Torah, and then they would to go to Har Gerizim and Har Evel. Now we can understand why we do not recite Birchas Kohanim in Chutz Li'aretz, because if the Torah Shebal Peh has indicated that we should derive the essence, the source of the bracha from Har Gerizim and Har Evel, which was a bracha that was said specifically upon our possession, our inheritance of the land. Well, we're not living in Eretz Yisrael, so what are you bothering to say Birchas Kohanim? Okay, and by extension, there's another element that is very interesting to learn about Birchas Kohanim, is that it's a double-edged sword. It's not just that there's a bracha. Yivorechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Yo'er Hashem panavilecha v'chunecha. It's only bracha. There's no such thing in this world as only bracha. It's a double-edged sword. No pain, no gain. In the brachas of Har Gerizim and Har Evel, the way the Torah actually presents them are as kololos. And only Do we know that they were accompanied by brachos from the beginning of the pasuk? Eile ya'amdu livorech es amal hargrizim. And then the next pasuk says, v'elu ya'amdu al haklola. And then we're shocked to learn that when the Torah enumerates the blessings, it only enumerates the klolois. And we have to indirectly figure out that with the Kohanim and the Levim, when they recited these lessons, brachos and klolois. Sorry? When the Kohanim recited these brachos and these klolois, the way it is expressed in the pasuk is in the form of a klola. And we only know from the pasuk, as Rashi explains, that no, not just a chas v'shalom, wasn't just a klola, it was a bracha. First, the kohanim would recite, Baruch, blessed is a person that does everything correctly, and everyone would answer, Amen. And then he would say, and if you don't do it correctly, then there's going to be a klola. That opens up the realization, I mean, this is a scary thing to say, is that if we are with the program, we are doing the Ratzon of Hashem, then indeed, Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. But watch out. If you're not doing Hashem's Ratzon, Chas v'Shalom, then the brachos of Birchas Kohanim can haunt us in the opposite direction. Because isn't that what the lesson is? If Chazal are telling us that there's a Gezeirah Shavah, to link the brachos of Birchas Kohanim with the brachos of Har Grizim and Har Evil, and Har Grizim and Har Evil, it was a double-edged sword, then Birchas Kohanim is also a double-edged sword. And don't say, oh, but by the brachos of Birchas Kohanim, it only says it in the positive. It doesn't say it in the negative. Well, excuse me, in the brachos of Har Grizim and Har Evil, it only says it in the negative. And we only have to figure out through a drasha, through the context, that it was also said in the positive. The Torah is indirectly warning us to do Hashem's will. If you do Hashem's will, there will be enormous blessing. But no pain, no gain. Don't think that if you don't do Hashem's will, all you're doing is forfeiting bracha. No, that's not so. You're not just forfeiting bracha. The brachos that you should have got can chas v'shalom haunt you and be fulfilled in the opposite form. Okay, that's one idea. But going back to the previous, the main thing I wanted to bring out is that being that the brachos of Har Grizim and Har Evel are clearly blessings that were said to Klal Yisrael when they entered the land, when they took possession of Eretz Yisrael, that was the purpose of that how it was presented. Likewise by extension, Birchos Kohanim are brachos that are totally in Eretz Yisrael. So if you're in Golos, then it's not appropriate for you to make those brachos. Perhaps that can be a yishur as to why Ashkenazim do not recite the brachos. Okay, now let's go back to the other topic. The other topic is, do Kohanim have to stand? So we have here a Gemara that tells us they must stand when they do the Birchos Kohanim based upon these two drashas. Now here is the question. What happens if a Kohen does not stand? Let's say the Kohen sits when he recites the bracha. Let's say a Kohen comes to Shul and he's old, he's not able, he's in a wheelchair, and he wants to say the brachas in a sitting position. Is he permitted to do so? So this is a very big shiloh. To what degree do we enforce or do we view the Gezeirah Shavah? Is this a real Gezeirah Shavah with the full intensity of a Gezeirah Shavah? Ad kedei kach, that if the Kohen would make the bracha, it would be a bracha levatola. Before he recites Birchas Kohanim, he says Hashem's name. Baruch Ato Hashem makes the bracha. Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedushanu B'Kedushaso Shel Aaron V'Tzivanu Levarech Es Amo Yisrael Be'Ahava. Is that called a bracha levatola? So this is Machlekes HaPoskim. Some say yes, it's a bracha levatola because this Gezeirah Shavah is the real deal. and the Kohanim must stand, and if they're not able to stand, even if it's not any fault of their own, it's because they're not able to because of their age or weak, so they're not allowed to. There's nothing that we can do to accommodate them. Others say no, it's not so. It's not a real gezeirah shavah. It's not smach to be alma. There is something lacking in the intensity, in the potency of the blessing. But without question, the bracha is not a bracha levatola. It's not ma'akev. It's not mamash an avoda. It's not mamash a gezeirah shavah. It's not har grizm har evil. They're not in the Beis HaMikdash. They're giving a blessing, and it's their duty to give a blessing. It's their mission to give a blessing. It may not be done perfectly the way it's meant to be done, but it's not going to be considered to be a bracha levatola. Now, in that process, there is something very interesting, another idea about the bracha. It says about the bracha, the pasuk, Kivoy vochar Hashem levorich b'shmo, Hashem has selected these kohanim to bless. Okay, the whole pasuk is, Kivoy vorach, let me find the pasuk. Kivoy bochar Hashem Elokecha mikol shivotecha la'amod l'shares. They have been selected to stand and to minister. Now we make a gzeirah shavah. This goes back to the second interpretation. It says regarding the kohanim, it says l'shares ulevorech bishmoy. In this pasuk, the two are equated. Blessing by using through Hashem's name and being mishores. Mishores certainly refers to doing service in the Beis HaMikdash. Regarding their service in the Beis HaMikdash, the pasuk says, Kivoy, you, they, the Kohanim, Bochar Hashem, Hashem has selected Elokecha, Mikol Shivotech, all of the tribes, La'amod Lishores. So he writes over here, Rabbi Dvorkis, he cites here the opinion of Rashi, this is an incredible chiddush, Rashi in Masechta Zvachim, who takes a very hard line regarding the halacha of Kohanim sitting during Berachas Kohanim. Kohanim must stand. The Gezeirah Shavah is a bona fide quality Gezeirah Shavah. They must stand. And if a Kohen does not stand, it is equivalent to a Yisrael doing, or offering Birchas Kohanim. And everyone knows that for a Yisrael to get up in front of the Arayin and to make the bracha, Asher Kiddushan B'Kiddushasoy Shel Arayin, V'tzivanu L'Varech Hasamo Yisrael B'Yavah, and to sing along with the Kohanim when they recite Birchas Kohanim, is scandalous. It is a terrible avera. A zar lo yikarav. A zar. A Yisrael. A Yisrael has absolutely no business, no place in the Beis HaKnesses at the time of Birchas Kohanim, standing at the Aroin and reciting Birchas Kohanim. Along comes Rashi and he says an amazing chiddush that if a Kohen sits when he recites Birchas Kohanim, it is equivalent to a Yisrael reciting Birchas Kohanim. He is an imposter. Because the pasuk that teaches us the halacha, that the sheiros must be done standing and not sitting, begins with the words, Kivoy, it is you, Shevi Levi, that Hashem has selected, Kivoy bochar Hashem Elokecha mikol shivotech. It is you, Sheva Levi, more so than any other tribe whom Hashem has selected la'amoid l'shares. And now you dear come along and you sit. So once you're not fulfilling the word la'amoid, so now you're no longer part of kivoy bochar Hashem Elokecha mikol shivotech. You're an imposter. It's ki'ilu azor is giving over Birchas Kohanim. For Zohar to give Birchas Kohanim, some hold it's a loisaseh. It's a violation of a loisaseh. It's a terrible avera. It's a terrible thing. It's an imposter. A Zohar has no place doing avoda. It's like the story with Uzziah. When Uzziah, he was a melech, he was from Sheva Yehuda, and when he came into the base, he decided one day he also wants to be the Kohen Gadol, and he wants to be Makter Ketores. And they told him, you're not allowed to do that. You're only a Yisrael, you have no right. He came in, he mocked the Ketores, and a terrible earthquake happened. There was an earthquake which many people died, and it became a reference state to a new tkuf in history. Just like we can relate, there's 9/11, there was the world before 9/11, there's the world after 9/11. And now we're dealing with a new era that we'll never get over. There was the world before Corona, and there's the world after Corona. In Jewish history, there was the world before Uzziah was Makdir Ketores, and there was the world after Uzziah was Makdir Ketores. The earthquake was so massive, and so many people died, and so many things happened at that moment in time. It was a different world. And why did it happen? Because a Yisrael made believe he was a Kohen. It's a serious matter. For a Kohen to sit when he gives over Birchas Kohanim is equivalent, in the opinion of Rashi, to a Yisrael delivering Birchas Kohanim, which we appreciate and we know is fully incorrect. That's Shitas Rashi. Other opinions hold that's not so. They do not go so far as Rashi, other Rishonim, to say such a thing, that it's equivalent to a Zar, and they don't hold the Gezeirah Shavah to be an absolute Gezeirah Shavah. Rather, it's an Asmachta, and therefore a Kohen who cannot stand, he is in a wheelchair, and insists on reciting Birchos Kohanim, Yesh Al Milismoich, he is allowed to do so. This is not, he's not actually bringing a korban. We're not actually giving the brachas in our greed and in our evil. The Gezeirah Shavah is not a real Gezeirah Shavah, according to this opinion, until Nasmachta. And when it says in the Pesuk, Yivoy Vach Hashem La'amar L'Shares, we don't go so far to say that he's becoming a czar. He's not a czar. He's certainly a bona fide Kohen. Oyin Shachman Apatre, his legs, unfortunately, are not functioning to the degree where he's able to stand on his own weight. And if he wants to give the bracha, he can give the bracha. Will the bracha have within it the full potency of a bracha of a kohen? We don't know how these things work. No one ever came back to tell us how these things work. Seemingly, whatever it means, it's not, because he's not really permitted to do so. And that's where we leave it. Okay, so this is pretty much the sugya. So I'll tell you one other thing about standing, and this is something which is more of a scientific issue, and that is a lefty. This is a very, very big topic. I think at the end of the day, it's so confusing, and there are so many questions. The end is, Tzorich in Godol ad Me'oit. Let's go back and talk about a simple question. Is a Kohen who is a lefty, Is he allowed to do avoda in the Beis Hamikdash? What is the halach? Kohen who is a lefty. So the pashtus says no. The simple understanding is a Kohen who is a lefty may not do the avoda. Now, before I go, I just want to make sure. Can you still hear me? Am I talking to people or everyone left already? Someone just tell me if you can still hear me. Okay, good. So the question is, can a Kohen who is a lefty, is he allowed to do avoda in the Beis Hamikdash? This is a very tough question. And the pashtus is absolutely not. Why? Because it says, the Gemara makes a drasha, he must use his right hand. Yamin, you have to use the right hand. You'll say, but a lefty's left hand is his right hand. Is that really so? Is that really correct? Not necessarily. When we say a right hand means the right hand. So why can't the Kohen, who is a lefty, then use his right hand? He'll do avoda. And the Kohen is a Kohen. He's a lefty. His power is in his left hand. The Torah demands that the avoda be done with his right hand. Okay, I will train myself to use my right hand when I do the avoda. If that's what the Torah wants, I will do the avoda with my right hand, even though it's my weaker hand. We have a new problem. If everyone else present in this room, if their right hand is their stronger hand, and your right hand is your weaker hand, that makes you into a Baal Mum. So you have a more fundamental problem of doing the avoda, in that you are a Baal Mum. So let's review. The Torah demands that the avoda be done with the right hand. Naturally, a person uses his stronger hand. Naturally, a Kohen who is a lefty would want to use his left hand. He's not allowed, because the Torah demands that, okay, I'll do the right hand. No, that's also not a solution in your case, because being that everyone in the room, their right hand is stronger than their left hand, and your left hand is stronger than your right hand, that makes you into a different type of person. And we have to follow the majority. I don't know what the statistics are. I think how many members of the population are lefties? I once knew this inside out. I forgot. 10%? 20%? It's definitely not more than 20% of the population. I think it's 10% of the population are lefties. So therefore, you are a minority. If you're a minority, you are a Baal Mum. Now, this is a very big question. Is that really mean you're a Baal Mum? Just because your power is in the left hand and you're different than 90% of the population, really? That makes you into a Baal Mum? I mean, come on. Everyone is different. Some people have black hair, some have red hair, are blonde, some people are tall, some are short, some people have big noses, and some people have small noses. So what? Just because my power is in my left hand, that makes me into a Baal Mum? Really? Why is that so? So there are those who want to suggest that when Chazal discuss an Iter Yad, a lefty, it's not referring to our lefties. And in other words, there can be very possibly an approach to understand that today, that a lefty can do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash if he trains himself how to use his left hand. But he's different. So here's the point that the Chazal. Again, this is something which is extremely complicated, and it does not appear in science really knows the answers to all of these questions. Today, when you have a lefty, ask a lefty which foot he puts forth first when he walks. A righty will put forth his right foot first. You have to video people without them thinking about it. A lefty typically puts forth his left foot first. Why? Because his body is wired differently from top to bottom. Just like his main power, his left arm is stronger than his right arm, his left foot is stronger than his right foot. The whole body, the left side, the left limbs of the body are consistently the dominant force in his body. Now, by the way, it's a myth. The brain of a lefty is not wired any differently than the brain of a righty. That's a myth that is totally false. People say that a lefty, they use the other side of their brain. No. There's no such thing. The brain of a lefty is just like the brain of a righty. For some reason that we don't really fully understand, the person has more strength on the left side, on his left limbs, than his right limbs. Everything else is the same. There is one, the lefty has the heart. Where is the heart? Everyone's heart is on the left side. Okay, everyone's heart is on the left side. A lefty's heart is on the left side. Nothing is different physically about a lefty than a righty. There is a genetic disease, or there is such a thing. It is extremely, extremely rare where a person is a lefty for real, meaning that his heart is on the right side, and his brain is different, and his whole body is completely different, completely inverted. It's a very, very rare condition. Almost no one has that. All lefties are identical to righties. The only difference is, for some reason in the brain, it worked out that his power is given to the left organs, the left leg, the left foot. When Chazal talk about an Itter Yad, there is an approach in the Rishonim and the Achronim that suggest we're dealing with a person who puts his right foot first. He does everything like a righty. His strength physically is on the right side of his body. When he walks, he puts his right foot first. His shoulders, and there must be other parts of the body which dominate on the right side. The only thing that is abnormal is his hand, his arm. This arm on the left side has more power than the arm on the right side. That makes him into a Baal Mum, because of the inconsistency. There is a degree of inconsistency in his body. If a person is a healthy lefty, let's say the numbers are 10% of the population are lefties. They're healthy lefties. Their left foot is stronger. Their right arm is stronger. I don't know, maybe they're in their eyes. Their left eye is stronger. Maybe there are certain muscles that run along the body that are stronger on the left side. That's the way it's supposed to be. Just like a righty, his arm, his leg, his eyesight, muscles on his body are more dominant on the right side. The lefty, all of those parallel muscles and organ limbs are also dominant on the left side. That's normal. That's healthy. Just because he's 10% of the population, well, if you'll show me a Kohen who has a hair color, the color of his hair is only 10% of the population have this particular hair. Or his the way, you know, everyone's their hairline. There are all different types of hairlines people have on their head. His hairline is unique. So what? So what? He's 10%. He's 1%. Who cares? That doesn't make you into a Baal Mum. What makes a person into a Baal Mum is when there is an inconsistency in the body. If the body along one side is primarily on the right side, and then one limb, the arm, stands out, there's something wrong with this person. That is the Baal Mum. Now, this is a chiddush. This is what I'm saying is a very big chiddush. It's not my chiddush. And if you take that approach, it comes out that a Kohen who is a lefty, is allowed to do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash as long as he trains himself to use his right arm when he does Shechita, Kabbalah, Hoylacha, and Zrika. Oh, but he's a lefty. He bats like a lefty. And he writes like a lefty. So what? He puts on tefillin on his right arm. So what? Tefillin depends upon your stronger hand. All the things you do in life depend on. But when it comes to doing the avoda, there's a rule. You have to use your right hand. Nowhere does it say you have to use your stronger hand. You have to use your right hand. So use your right hand. Oh, but this fellow, his strength is in the left. So his strength is in the left. Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that that's a condition that is necessary to do the avoda. That may be a condition that's necessary for tefillin, but not for the avoda. So you'll argue, but he's abnormal because he's only 10% of the population. Well, you're abnormal for asking that question because there are things about you that are also only 10%. What kind of blood type do you have? Maybe your blood type is only 1% of the population. Maybe your height is 1% of the population. Just because someone's different, why should that make a difference? Now, this is a general, now I'm telling you this whole principle in order to get to one interesting concept. What about a Kohen who is the Baal Mum reciting Birchas Kohanim? You have a Kohen who's a Baal Mum. Is a Kohen who has a blemish allowed to recite Birchas Kohanim? Absolutely yes. There is no question about it. A Kohen who's a Baal Mum is allowed to part. There is no halacha anywhere. The din of a Baal Mum is only bringing korbanos on the Mizbeach. That's the only place where the Torah says a Kohen with a blemish is off limits. When it comes to other parts of the other services of Birkas Kohanim, a Kohen is allowed to do service in the Beis HaMikdash. But here's the catch. Let us say you have a Kohen who has an abnormality in his legs. His koyach is in the wrong leg. Does that take away from the din of la'amod, of standing? Now, I don't know the details. This can get very, very confusing. The details, just like when it comes to tefillin, we have a drasha, yodcho, with yodcho, there's an extra hey. The pasuk should have said yodcho, yud dalet chof. But it does not say yud dal chof. It says yud dal chof hey, which Chazal darshin, put the tefillin on your weaker hand. We learn that when it comes to Birchas Kohanim, it has to be said la'amod, standing. There's a demand that a person should be standing. How far does that word go? So we had a discussion. Do you need to stand, period? If you hold, it doesn't say it anywhere explicitly in Birchas Kohanim that a Kohen has to stand. It doesn't say that. You only know that he has to stand is through a Gezeirah Shavah. Okay, very good. Let's learn with Rashi. Rashi says the Gezeirah Shavah is a real Gezeirah Shavah, which has halachic consequences, that if the Kohen does not stand, it is a bracha levatola. And we go so far to say, Kivo vocher Hashem, Hashem has selected the Kohanim, and being that you're not doing it the way you are supposed to do, it's as if you are a Yisrael who is reciting Birchos Kohanim, and you're guilty. You're guilty of violating, of not doing the service correctly, and you will be dismissed. You will be dismissed from, you're in violation of the halacha because the Yisrael is not allowed to recite Birchos Kohanim. Okay, fine. So let's discuss a Kohen who is standing, but there is an abnormality in the way he stands. For example, he is a lefty. He's a lefty. His ikar koyach is in the left foot. And let's go to an extreme where the person be'etzem is a righty. He's a regular righty. He bats righty. He puts tzul on his left hand. He does everything with his right hand. And that means, if we take him to a doctor, I don't know the science behind this, but supposedly there is something to this, is that a person who is a righty, it's not just in the right hand, there is the entire right side of the body has dominance. All of the muscles, the limbs, maybe even organs, there's a consistent power that's given to the right side of the body. And this fellow, however the science works, they take him to the doctor, perfect. He's a perfect righty with one exception. His legs have an abnormality where the left leg is dominant, clearly dominant. Maybe it's because of some type of genetic disease or some type of situation, how he was brought up. We're not discussing an accident. When there's an accident, Rahman al-Itzlan, or there is a disease or an illness, that's a different topic. This is the way he was born. He was born with some rare type of genetic disorder, if we may use those ugly words for the moment, where his body on the right side is fully dominant, like a healthy person, But for some reason, his legs are different. The left leg is what powers his body. And now he is standing. Does this qualify for the word la'amod? According to Rashi, who is very tough, he demands that there be a real la'amod to the gzeirah shavah. And if you don't stand, then it's ki'ilu azor, recite a birchas kohanim, which is a loisase, you're an impostor. And the Torah used the word la'amod, and the word la'amod has a connotation of stand like a normal person. And here you're standing. Is it called standing when you need two legs to balance yourself? And one leg, and this individual is balancing himself with la'amod in a bizarre way. Is this called a la'amod? Now, obviously, today, no one's going to tell you not. And no one's going to take a coin down from the duchan, but it's just a theoretical topic of discussion, which brings out, you know, maybe there are other practical nafminas. This is not a practical nafmina, but I just found it to be very interesting. And he writes about this here, to some degree, Rabbi Dvorkis. He talks about in Itter Yad. He talks about this. And he talks about this principle called right and the left. And where it does have more of a real application is in the sugya of chalitza, of yibum and chalitza. Because there, the chalitza has to be done on the right foot. And when we deal with these issues, a righty, lefty, and then we deal with what is called a righty and a lefty. Is a righty and a lefty what we are familiar with today? Today, someone is a lefty, that makes him into a Baal Mum, really? Is that really so that a Kohen who's a lefty is a Baal Mum and he's not allowed to do the Avodah? Is that really true? The Pashto says yes, but it's not so simple. And then when you want to deal with types of, today we do it with science, we know a lot more than we ever knew, and we learn about what is a healthy lefty and what is a non-healthy lefty. And we are able to break up a lefty into different categories. And then when you deal with the left hand, there's also the left foot. And that can be broken up in different categories. Does this have any consequence regarding chalitza? Does this have any consequence regarding birchas kohanim, where we demand a person stand like a normal person? Okay, that is one topic. Now I want to discuss another topic that ties into this. This is another interesting idea. And that is, after the Kohanim finish reciting the bracha, it is the custom for us to say to them, Yiyasher Koychacha, may your strength be straight. Or if you want to sound more yeshivish, you say Shkoyach, a Shkoyach. Or if you're somewhere in the middle, you say, Yasher Koyach. Seemingly, the correct pronunciation would be, Yi Yasher Koychacha. I have yet to hear a person say to someone else, Yi Yasher Koychacha. Usually, you hear Shkoyach, or Yasher Koyach. Something along those lines. The question is, why? Why should you say? Is it proper to say it to them? Is it the correct thing to do? Or maybe you're not allowed to do it even. Why would you not be allowed to do it? They have an obligation. It is their mitzvah to bless us. It's their duty to bless us. So how, and in fact, it's the Beferisha Mishnah Masech Tashvius. Masech Tashvius, it says, and in the year of they're conflicting Mamori Chazal. Here is the issue. On the one hand, there is a Mishnah Masechta Shvius that says as follows: Peroy Shvius shekein motzi Peroy Shvius she'oichlin oison b'toiva. It says in the Mishnah that when a Yisrael comes in to the field of another Jew in the year of Shemitah, when the fields are fallow, the doors, the gates are open, and you come in and you pull out of the ground grain that has grown on its own without anyone planting anything,
and you pluck it out of the ground and you put it in your basket and you walk out, you're obligated to say to the balabayis, the owner of the land, thank you. Bitoy vasan, I want to thank you for your kindness in allowing me to come into this field and to pluck off the earth grain that has grown by itself in this year of Shemitah, when you are not allowed to plant and work the land, and you're obligated to keep the gate open to allow me to enter and to pluck grain off the ground. It is proper for the person who enters to bang on the door, knock on the door, and say to the Baal HaBayis, thank you. And the question is why? Why are you allowed to do that? Why are you obligated to do that? It's Shemitah. In Shemitah, the field is fallow. The field, the Baal HaBayis has an obligation to be mafkir his field. And what is the answer? The answer is, doesn't matter. The Mishnah is still teaching you, it's not Derech Eretz. The bottom line is, this field is the property of this Baal HaBayis. Your benefit has been derived because of him. It is Derech Eretz to thank him for owning this field, for taking care of this field, and thus, it by extension, grain just happens to grow by itself in the year of Shemitah. Obviously, not a whole field, but there's some, you know, it just happens, grain grows, and therefore it's your duty to say thank you, even though he is obligated by the Torah to let you take that grain. By extension, many want to say, when someone does a mitzvah, the Kohanim, they have a duty to get up in front of the Aron, the Chazar Sashatz, and to recite the bracha with full kavana, with a full heart, and to bless Klal Yisrael. This is their duty. They don't have a choice. This is their obligation. You still have a duty, the Yisraelim, who are the recipients of this blessing, still have an obligation, have Derech Eretz, to come back and say to the people, thank you, Yasher Koyach, for being so kind and blessing us. It's no different than the mitzvah of Shavuos. The problem is, we have a stira. The stira is, there's a medrash. The medrash says, if a Yisrael gives to a Kohen an enormous amount of truma, a core, in a warehouse worth of truma, and then 5 minutes later, another Jew gives to a Kohen a teeny little bit of grain, not for the mitzvah of truma. A gift. Here's a gift. Kohen, I have for you a gift. Here, take a couple of kernels of grain. So the Medrash says that the Kohen has an obligation to say thank you to the person who gave him a teeny little gift and has no obligation whatsoever to say thank you to the farmer who just gave him a warehouse of truma. You know why? Because the Kohen doesn't owe the Yisrael anything. It's his property. Truma goes to the Kohanim. The Yisrael has an obligation to give the truma to the Kohanim. So, you're not doing any mitzvah. I don't owe you a Yasher Koyach to you. You have this mitzvah. You owe it to me. So you're doing what you're supposed to do. I don't have an obligation to say to you, thank you. This other fellow who's not giving me teruma, he's just giving me a handout, is giving me $1. To him, I have an obligation to say thank you because he owes me nothing. You just gave me $1 million. I'm not going to say that. I have no duty to say thank you to you. It's your duty to give it to me. The other fellow who gave me $1, he doesn't have to give me $1. Therefore, I have a duty to say thank you. So we have your contradiction. How do we answer this contradiction? The answer is an incredible chiddush. The answer is the case where the Kohen has no duty is going where It's called b'makire kohuna, where they already have a chazaka. In other words, we have to really take a step back and tell you the real answer. The reason why we, the Yisraelim, say to the Kohanim, thank you, when they finish Birchas Kohanim, is because this Kohen, if he wanted, could have gone to a different shul. He indeed has a duty to recite Birchas Kohanim, but he does not have a duty to come to us. In Flatbush, there are hundreds of shuls. He can go to any shul he wants to fulfill his duty of reciting Birchas Kohanim. Why did he decide to come to this particular shul and stand before the Aron and recite the blessing? For that, we owe him a Yashar Koyach. The case in the Midrash that tells us that the Yisrael has no, the Kohen has no duty to say thank you to the Kohen, is discussing a case where the Kohen already has a chazaka to give his teruma to a particular Kohen. In other words, when you first start, the first time a Yisrael has truma, he can give the truma to whoever he wants. Any Kohen he wants, he can give the truma. You select. You look up in the phone book, find all the Kohens, and find you eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you can decide which Kohen you want to give your truma to. However, after a Yisrael has accustomed himself to giving truma to a particular Kohen, the halacha is the shakin chiddush. The halacha is you're not allowed to stop. If you every single year for 3 years have decided that you're going to give your truma to Mr. Kohen number one, you're not allowed in year four to decide, I don't like Mr. Kohen number one. He's not my type of guy. I'm going to give my truma to Mr. Kohen number two. You're not allowed to deviate. Once you get into a routine, that's what the Chachamim decided. They want you to stick to your Kohen. They demand of us loyalty. It's called Machzikei Kohen. This goes back to the Medrash. And here comes the Chiddush. The Etzem, a Kohen, has no obligation to say thank you to a Yisrael for giving him Truma. You know why? Because who says, because it's your mitzvah. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. You have to give Truma. I just represent the tribe. However, that's not nice. Because the truth is, the Yisrael doesn't have to give the Truma to you. He can give the Truma to a different Kohen. Who says he has to give it to you? The fact that he decided to give it to you, you have to say to him, thank you. But you only have to say to him, thank you for 3 years. Isn't this a chiddush? After 3 years, when already the Yisrael is now in a routine, he's locked in and must continue delivering the teruma to this specific Kohen, we now turn the tables on both of them and we say, now it's time to change your outlook. The Kohen has no duty to say thank you to butter up the Yisrael. It's the Yisrael's duty. At kidei kach. The Kohen has no obligation to say thank you. Incredible chiddush. When it comes to Birchas Kohanim, there's no such thing that the Kohanim have to come and bless a particular tzibur. Just because the Kohanim are coming to this shul for the last 25 years, it's a shocking thing, there is no takon in Chazal. They have to come back on the 26th year to the same shul to recite the Birchas Kohanim. This takona that you must continue doing what you did last year was only taught in monetary gifts. When you support someone, you're not allowed to stop. It's an incredible chiddush, as long as you have what to give, of course. It's an incredible chiddush. You pledge a certain amount of money, every year you give your tshuma to this Kohen. You did it already for 3 years. If you have what to give, if Hashem has blessed you and your field has produced tshuma, it's an incredible halacha. You have an obligation to go to the same Kohen and give it to him the next year. And because this is your duty, don't expect a thank you. Hashem told you to do this. You're locked in. You don't have a choice. But the first 3 years, you can do whatever you want. Then he should say thank you. Birchas Kohanim is not a monetary gift. Birchas Kohanim is a blessing from the heart. Just because you blessed this tzibur for the last 25 years does not mean you have to bless them in the 26th year. And if you want to go to a different Beis HaKnesses, you have the right to do so. And if you choose to come back on the 26th year to the same Beis HaKnesses and give over the bracha, the tzibur owes you a lavish, heartfelt thank you, Yasher Koichacha, for your kindness in selecting us to give the blessing. You know, today we live in this type of world. You go on an airplane. You know, people are afraid to go on an airplane anymore. They used to be afraid to go on an airplane because the airplane would crash. No one's afraid of that. Today they're afraid of going on the airplane because they'll die on the plane from corona. So we live now in a whole new world. Everything became crazy now. But it used to be in the old days, you go on an airplane, they would always say, at least every time, they would say, thank you for flying with El Al. And they actually says, we know you have many options. We know there are many options. They don't say all the competition. There's United, there's American Airlines. You can fly nonstop with Aeroflot or with Turkish Airways or with fly Swiss Air. We know you have many options. And we appreciate your loyalty. We're thankful that you have chosen to fly with us. They say it outright. We know you have many options, and we're grateful that you chose to come and fly with us. When Kohanim come to your shul, that's a very serious statement. Kohanim, a Kohen wakes up in the morning, and he makes a conscious decision. Which shul in Flatbush do I want to bestow? Do I want to use my power to bestow upon them blessing? And to select a particular shul, the people in that shul who are the recipients of that blessing, they owe the Kohen a lavish Yasher Koyach. Okay, that is the lesson of the Yasher Koyach. Now, just say one other quick thing is that another very big topic, there's a general topic when a person does a mitzvah, do you give them Yasher Koyach? And one of the biggest issues, this is going in, is when someone lends you money. It's a major machlokes ha-poskim. If somebody lends you money and you repay the loan and you say thank you, that is a question of ribbis. Because not only are you giving them back the loan, the money that you borrowed, you're also giving them back the goodwill, a thank you. Are you allowed to say thank you to a person when you repay a loan? So the answer is machlokes ha-poskim. Many say you are permitted because it's not called you're giving them anything. It's min hanimos. This is just basic derech eretz. Ribbis is when you do something extra. If you come, you give them a platter of fruit, you bring them candy from Onatz, from the notary, that would be ribbis. To say thank you, that is derech eretz, that is expected. So many places consider you're allowed to say a polite thank you when you repay a loan. And I'll leave you with a joke. There's a very popular joke. I told this to you many times here. Why do you say, after you have a certain type of person, not everyone gets this joke. Only cynical people like me get this joke. Mayor Appeldorf, you still hear Mayor? He gets this joke. He understands this joke in its full sense. Not everyone here, Baruch Hashem, has been damaged. And thus not everyone here will get this joke. What? Why do you say Yashrach went to the Kohanim? They cleaned out the Mizrach. You give them a Yashar Koyach for cleaning out the Mizrach Vant. I see no one's laughing here. No one understands the joke. What could... Rabbi Shaloni doesn't understand it. Rabbi Shaloni, do you get the joke? He doesn't get the joke. To clean out the Mizrach. Okay, that's the joke. I boys have a wonderful day. And remember, Matan Torah was given through Zoom. Has Mipanov Kol Haaretz. Can everyone please mute yourselves? Have a wonderful day. Be well. See you tomorrow. We're having a share. Everyone wants to come. We're having a share tonight at 7:15. We're continuing Chumash, Rashi, Unkelis at 7:15. Otherwise, until tomorrow, have a wonderful day. Be well. Stay safe. See you tomorrow. I can barely hear anyone. I can barely hear you on this. Yeah, let me.